fact.
That's a fact.
That's so good.
All right.
Now,
how's everybody doing today? We got a special episode of the Titans today.
Oh yeah,
we are live with an Australian who is in Monday right now. It's Sunday night at 9 p.m. It's Monday morning 11 a.m. there.
Future. Yep.
It just hit 11 a.m. on the dot.
It's crazy. Will Panos, aka Killershot 92 Gaming, how are you doing today?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Beautiful day outside. Shining. Oh, that, yep, not doing that again.
Wow, that was pretty bright.
Beautiful day.
If I open up my shades right now, it just like it'll suck the light right out. It's so dark.
Me, I'm stuck in a garage so that my kids aren't around jumping all over me while I'm trying to do it.
Do you have two kids, Isabel?
I have three.
Oh, you have three kids?
Yeah, two daughters and a son.
Oh, he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. And Joe has two kids.
Oh, okay. How old are your kids, Joe?
I have one is 5 and a half and the other, well, actually she's almost six. My daughter's almost 6 years old. My son just turned a year old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And
I can't wait to have kids. It's going to be cool.
Oh yeah. It's awesome, man. It's a lot of fun.
It's one of the greatest experiences and one of the most terrifying experiences you'll ever have in your life.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The first 6 months, you can't sleep. Even if the baby's sleeping fine, you can't sleep because you're worried constantly.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You're like, oh my God, they're sleeping. Are they okay?
You know what? Too quiet.
Things that you never thought you would experience in your life. We do a segment called Stupid Criminals. And because you're here with us, we figured we'd go to Sydney to find what kind of stupid criminals they have.
You'll find a lot.
There is a man who was trying to steal toilet paper from a Redfern chemist.
Yeah.
And for the people in America that don't know, a chemist is a pharmacist.
Yes.
They call chemists pharmacists. Don't know why, but it's pretty cool. And
we have multiple names for the same thing.
It's beautiful. So a Gold Cross pharmacy around 4:30 a.m., police arrived because they noticed that there was some kind of commotion. And they arrived to see a guy trapped between the cage and the glass door, trying to pick the lock of the glass door to get in to steal toilet paper. Now, in America, when the pandemic first hit, toilet paper was a hot commodity here. And we had people fighting over it.
Yeah.
Was it that bad there too? Did everyone
We didn't have people fighting, but we did have like a whole new structure in the shopping centers. So there'd be a woman or a man standing at the toilet paper and going, one pack for you, walk away.
Wow.
One pack for you, walk away. There was times where people did end up in arguments that, but
It's
nowhere near as bad as around the world. Whereas we had a pandemic. Yeah, we all freaked out. We ran out of toilet paper and stuff, but we didn't actually have nothing. You know what I mean? We didn't end up with nothing. We all still had toilet paper. We all still had everything we need. Just some people went and bought 30 packs of it when they didn't need to, because the pandemic didn't hit us hard. So everyone went and stocked themselves up with all this stuff to only have to have it in there for 2 weeks. And then they could start letting it all back out, go shopping, doing all that. So we haven't actually been locked in our houses for longer than 2 weeks since the pandemic started. It's actually crazy.
That's insane.
We've been freedom.
We had to carry letters.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's insane. That is insane. Oh, sorry. With the workers, yes. During the actual hit of the pandemic, all the workers had to get specific cards to say you can work. Some industries had to shut down. They were told you're not allowed to make any money, pretty much. Like, shut your doors and we'll tell you when to reopen it. Like, my best mate, he lost his business. He built up a business for 5 years, saved all that money. And the first 2 months of the pandemic, he lost his whole entire company because it was an international freight system. So what happened during the pandemic? Wow. No international freight. So he lost his whole company that he built for 5 years in 2 months. Now he's back on the road to hopefully getting it again. But again, international freight, it's going to be very, very hard to start up again.
So are they not offering you guys assistance? Like, our government's given twice, like a couple $1,000s at a time to try to get the households back together. They didn't offer that for businesses.
I think they might have done it for businesses, but not for households and stuff here. But
wow,
I think they did a little thing for businesses around here, mm-hmm. but it's still not as enough with the expensive lifestyle almost it is in Australia. Like it's expensive here. It really is.
That was actually one of my questions was like how is I don't know the difference between the
A coffee here would cost you a minimum of $5, which is I think $2.50 or something like that for you, so $3.
All right, so that'd that's be like about the difference. Same.
But then, like, you go to the higher ends of Sydney and like the city and stuff like that, where they bump up every price, right. Like it's insane. It's the area you're in. Yeah, we have Starbucks. Yeah, that's one of the popular coffee places. They have drive-throughs that are packed out all the time. Mm-hmm. I've never actually personally been to one. I like my homemade coffee when you make it in your kitchen. I'm more that type of guy. I can't pay for one.
No, it's $5 for a coffee.
I'm getting a whole jar for the same price of one coffee.
Oh, yeah. And you get free refills at home.
Free, yes, exactly right. And your choice of milk.
That's right.
Exactly. You don't have to have the non-fat soy, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
All right. So for people that don't know, first question, what kind of content do you produce? In your what do you do?
So I'm more trying to go towards entertainment and tournament play. So I'm looking to become more of a professional player in the future. But at the time now, I'm still working myself out. So I want to see what path I want to choose. Do I want to go becoming that serious gamer that's just locked into the game 24/7 and not about the community? Or do I want to stick to the fun, entertaining beard man that makes everyone laugh every single day? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that path has been a lot more fun for me at the moment than becoming that serious gamer I've always wanted to be. And I think the Facebook community is what... What was that? Sorry.
Was it the pandemic that got you there?
Yeah. Well, the pandemic got me there. And since I was a kid, I always wanted to become a content creator. Like, not only that, I wanted to create games when I was younger, but I never got the chance to go through the school. My parents told me to leave after year 10. I never got to go to year 12. They told me I had to start working and make money and pay rent, help them pay rent and stuff like that. So I never pushed for the hard education. So when I got to that point, I lost that feeling to chase the dream for gaming because you had to have the year 12 certificate and all that. So I sort of shut myself down because of my, like, not having that inspiration from the mum and dad to continue, which wasn't their fault. Like, we were in a struggle, dad 15 years out of work, long story behind that, mum's only income, you know what I mean? So I sort of had to put my foot down and go, all right, become a man, get out of the house, start work. I started work the day I signed my day out of school. Like, I literally signed the paper, walked out the gate into a concrete truck and went and worked for $80 a day the day I left school, because I was just, that's my mentality, was to make sure you've always got an income, make sure you're living right. Keeping your parents happy is my biggest thing. Family is my biggest thing in life. I've always been a family person. I haven't got a massive family. So my friends are my family as well. So they're like mixed in on the amongst of all of us. So yeah, it's crazy. I didn't expect to be where I am today. But again, you push your dreams and you'll get there. You push them.
Absolutely.
You get there. Like, my mates hugged me like crazy 2 days ago. I was at a wedding and all of them I hadn't seen in over a year. And because of the pandemic and stuff like that too, they have kids. So they're more scared to have people come over when you have kids during the pandemic. So I hadn't seen them in so long, man. I got massive hugs and they're like, we're so proud of where you are today. Like, we always knew you'd make it far in life, but we didn't think you'd make it to where you wanted to be. We always knew you'd just be a hardworking man, you know, end up being like one of those average guys that passes away. Oh, he's a hardworking guy, worked every day of his life. I didn't want that. I want to live my life. You know what I mean? Really want to live my life. I've done so much work and all that as a young age. I'm just like, yep, I know this is what you're supposed to do for your whole life, but I want to be happy, you know? I've walked out of 9 industries because I wasn't happy.
That's important, really important, actually. I mean, and what is, like, if you had to pick, what is your target audience? Because you...
Target audience has always been, like, the younger generation because they understand. The older generation are just there to toxic and troll and... Some of them, yeah, they're there to learn. Yeah, they're there to enjoy themselves. But the younger generation are there to soak up like a sponge. So they're going to be sitting there soaking in everything you do. And everything you say and how you act and how you approach things, and using that in their general life. Like, I know Clowny for sure uses the advice I give him off stream. I talk to Clowny off stream a fair bit. So I give him little advice, like stay in school. Don't muck around. Stick close to your friends. Don't make too many enemies. You know what I mean? I give him those little advices, and man, that kid loves logging in every day. He stays up to 1 o'clock in the morning when he has school and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, Joe, but
he streams up to 8 hours a day.
Wow.
Just because the community is there. It's not like he's streaming and there's nobody watching. He'll be streaming and it could be as little as 20. It could be as much as 80. We've played games with 100 live people at one time, all tuned in to what he's doing. I mean, if the room could fit more, he might've been able to fit more people, but
100%
interact at the same time.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I've always held a minimum of 5 to 10 viewers. I've never actually sat at that one viewer or anything like that since I've begun, because I got my name out there before I started streaming. So I used to just play on my phone and join in on other streamers and win. I'd be the guy that's first and the streamer's second. And everyone used to say, bro, do you stream? Well, do you stream? I'm like, nah, man, I'd love to, you know, like I'd love to. And then I had like a really massive, like a life change in one moment. I lost my job and then had a massive lump of sum of money come through my hands. And I just thought, this is the time to start, you know, let's do it. Everyone wants to be out there. Let's see what happens when I do it. And the day I hit start, I had 110 followers on the first day. Wow. I was just stumped in my chair. I'm like, what's going on? I expected to hit 100 followers in a month. I'm doing it in the first day.
Without YouTube, he doesn't.
No, I've never started any other channel. Never channel. I've started from the bottom and grown just as casual as possible. If I start a YouTube channel and I start a proper Instagram and TikTok and go for the full social media hit, I'll blow up if I really wanted to, but that's so much time and stress on myself that I don't need. I don't need that right now. I'm having a great time building it such a small way. I'm getting to learn every person in my community, including Ben himself and others, heaps of others, Tilly, my moderators. I know heaps about them, personal lives, not just their name. You know what I mean? I know what state they're from, what they like to eat at night and stuff. Like, I don't want to just blow up and be like, yeah, don't care about everyone around me. I want to grow a massive community at the start and use that community to blow up. Use them to blow up, not me. I don't want to make myself be the cocky guy going, look, watch my videos. I want people like Ben, what he's doing now. Bro, you need to come check out this podcast that we're doing. Sweet. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm keen. Get you out there to the right people.
That's right. I want to be out there to the right people, not just to the world, because that's how you make money and all like that. Man, I've been on a massive income almost my whole life. This income is very tiny right now. I'm living on donations. I'm literally living on donations. And my partner is working 3 jobs right now to keep us afloat. It's crazy. Like, she's a carer for her mom and dad. She does her own business for cleaning. And she also takes care of me at the same time as I'm trying to start this. Like, she's absolutely insane, like, with what she does for me. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be where I'm sitting now.
Oh, yeah.
If I didn't have that support, no way I would be sitting here. I'd still be out there struggling my butt off every day, pushing myself at a job that I don't need to, you know, like, that I'm not happy at. That's the best way to explain it. Right. Like, I know they always say, oh, you'll never be happy in your career. Well, that's bull. That's bull.
Well, you're looking at one of the happiest people ever, because Joe is a musician. That's what he loves to
do. You've got my partner locked in. She's a singer.
Oh, there you go.
She's an absolutely amazing singer.
He teaches people over the internet how to play guitar, how to play.
Oh, that's wicked. That is wicked.
So, yeah, like piano, guitar, bass, ukulele, mandolin. I do singing lessons with people. Yeah.
Self-taught? Were you self-taught through all those instruments?
Most of those instruments I was self-taught.
That's insane.
Like guitar, bass, drums, mostly self-taught. Piano I was taught when I was very young.
I've always loved the piano. It's one of my favorite instruments is the piano.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in my music studio right now, actually. Yeah. I mean, you can see like a little bit, but I got like a piano over here. I got everything.
That's awesome.
everything set up, ready to go. I can just plug in right now if I want to and just start.
Yeah, see, that's wicked. See, that's, I've always been a music head my whole life.
I'm also a recording artist. So I, and then I'm a studio musician as well. So I get paid to, you know, like people hire me to record, different instruments, really. It's like, I'm trying to think of the last one I did. There was one song where I did I made a beat from a jazz song, believe it or not. It was a weird thing. And then I used a 12-string guitar, and then we used this really old organ, okay, that uses tape to make the sounds. It was cool. So, yeah, that was
insane.
I used tubes too in that one.
No way. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, like Blue Man Group. I was using these tubes. Like, boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop. And see, so when the pandemic hit him, he could no longer go to people's houses and teach them lessons. He was an in-person person. So just like you, it's a completely different industry, still entertainment though, but he had to learn to adapt too. So that's part of where the question came from, was it the pandemic that forced you into this? Like, is it a really horrible thing that was also a blessing that got you into your dream?
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. It was a horrible blessing that got me into my dream, because I never thought that I'd actually kickstart doing this until I realized how hard it would be to find a job during the pandemic. So to go work at a warehouse, that wasn't happening anymore, because that was the easiest industry to get into it around my area is warehousing. You can find yourself locked in a warehouse so easy, no experience. You know, they love taking on new people. They weren't doing that anymore. They'd keep whoever they had. All the retail places, a lot of them were shutting down, a lot of food places got shut down, which was really bad, because that's where, like, the second step is, if you can't get one in a warehouse, is you go for the retail shops and stuff. So you're right when it comes to that. The pandemic really kicked my ass into saying, you know what, just do it. I had the money. So I'll run down a quick story for you how I got to where I am. I was on an online casino. I had $100 in there. I was doing small bets. I ended up popping up to a $5,000 worth of features. So I got up to $5,000. And I was like, wow, this is epic. I'm going to do a $100 press, because it's an online casino. There's no limit. So I did a $100 press and I got the feature. And I was like, what? What's going to happen? I won $30,000 on that night. What? And I was just like, and I didn't think it was real. I thought, this can't be real. No way. So I'm going to try to cash it out. I'm going to take it. So it told me I can't take it all at once.
It wasn't like digital currency. It was actual.
So what it does is it's an online casino that runs through international currency. Okay. So in Australia, it's illegal to gamble online. I didn't know all this. Like, I'm done to it. You know what I mean? I found all this out after the fact. I'll tell you what happened in the end, which was really dangerous. But I got paid out my $30,000. I did. I gave 10 to my partner. I went and bought my massive setup, like $7,000 worth of streaming gear and all that. And I was just like, let's do this, you know? And then I had I checked my bank one day and $7,000 was taken out of my bank. And what happened is, in the mix of all this, like, international fees and stuff like that, they never charged my account. So they held it for a month, which you're allowed to do by law. You can hold an online withdrawal for a month. And then they just took it all in one hit. So they knocked my account in $2,000 debit and everything like that. Like, it was a big thing going on where I was up. I started this industry. And then 2 weeks in, I lost all my money. And I was just like, I've really got to kick myself into action here to make this a career. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't do that now, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, and my partner had full belief. She's like, no, I know you'll do it. She's like, I believe in you. You've got this. Don't worry about it. Who cares? You got no money? We had no money before. What are you worried about? And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I locked in and I was doing 8 hours a day coming in and doing it. And everyone's like, every stream has told me that I've done the wrong way. Everyone. They've all like, Black Shave, Ben, everyone. Ginge Dad. They've all said, you've got to stop doing so many hours. You're gonna hate it. And I'm like, well, you don't know who I am, but they're like, no, we know you're going to get over it. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you don't know who I am. Like, I'm a guy that thrives to things for my whole life. Like, I've never needed money. I grew up in a household where we lived week to week. So I never had expensive clothes. I never had jewelry. I never had all that fancy stuff. So
to get it all now, it's just like freaking bonus. But to not have anything, it doesn't kill me. It doesn't affect me to not check my account and go, I've got $5,000. I've got $20 in my account right now. I'll be dead synonymous with you. $20 to my name until I have next month. But that doesn't bother me. I'm not stressed that I can't go out this weekend and party. I'm not into that. You know what I mean? I've never been into that style. I've done all that. I'm 29 this year. I'm young still compared to most people out there. And I'm still ready to settle down. I'm still ready to settle down. Like, I'm done. Like, you know what I mean? I'm good. I'm happy. I've lived the life. My mates have all got kids and stuff like that. And I've been with my partner for 11 years strong. We've never split up. We've never had a day apart. I've only had, in 11 years, 6 days away from her. I can count those days in 11 years. That's why, like, me and her, we're that strong that I know that I can continue on through what I want to do just because of her. And if I didn't have her, I couldn't do where I'll be now. No way. My mind space would be weird and everything like that. There's no way I could continue on. She's like the stone to this relationship.
Shout out to Judy K. She is a rock.
Yeah, she's crazy.
So this is probably going to be one of the most important questions of this adventure, because it's the most relatable, especially to me and Joe and a lot of parents in the world and a lot of people in general. You can have a small following, but make a huge impact to the viewers that you do have. Was that your goal? And if not, how are you going to handle this newfound responsibility? Because like it or not, you are a content creator and you are a quote unquote role model to a lot of these kids that are looking for a positive experience and a positive place to go. My kids, they're not in school because of the pandemic. So they're not meeting new friends. They're looking to people like you to find that connection that we made just by going out and throwing rocks at each other when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly right. I love
playing the mud at the playground. It's like, hey, I'm Ben. Hey, I'm Will. What's going on? Let's be best friends. Yes,
exactly right. That's how I bet my best mate was just walking up to him in the playground and saying, hi, my name's Will. And he said, hi, my name's Ben.
Joe and I were in detention. We're in detention in high school, and we cut detention to go out back and smoke cigarettes. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? You like the
I like the that's a crack up.
Best friends. Like, literally,
my best mate, he came from he's come from Iraq. He traveled around Iraq, Turkey, and Greece until he landed in Australia when he was a teenager. He actually learned English from The Simpsons. That's how he learned English.
Best show ever.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
So were you prepared for this? Like, was this your goal? But you know, now that you have this responsibility, how are you going to handle it?
Well, at the beginning, it was my goal, obviously, because I created the whole PG stream. I created the PG style of it. There was one person besides me that I knew that did it, and he seen that he failed at it, and that was Ginge Dad. He said that he failed at it in the long run. But he had a lot more stuff behind, besides the stream to worry about, whereas I don't. So when I come into this and I've got everyone saying to me, no, we want you to be yourself. I still find it hard every day to not swear, as you see in the stream and stuff like that, and not carry on like a goose and stuff. But I do that because I want to change myself. I don't need to carry on like I used to and stuff when I played games. I want to try to teach the new generations not to be toxic when they play games, to enjoy the game. Enjoy having fun. Yeah, we might dance on a body and stuff, but we're not sitting there going, yeah, F your mother, you know what I mean? Like we used to when we were kids playing video games. Like you probably both know it yourself. Like the trolls we were at our generation, they don't need that in this generation, because this generation has a lot more technology and a lot more depression in this generation than when we did. We didn't have our mates go on and neck themselves because someone online has told them that they're a piece of shit. Do you know where I'm coming from? Whereas this day and age, you've got to watch out how you talk to people online. You really do.
Now, question, right? Like that actually brings up a pretty good thing, because a pretty interesting question, because you'll get parents that go, I don't like what the games are doing to my kids, right? The games are too violent. My kids are going to become violent. Have you ever seen any evidence of that being true?
Well, it's hard to say, because I've never seen it personally, but actually, you know what? No, I haven't actually heard of an experience where someone's gone, I'm going to go wake up today and shoot this person because I know how to shoot because of a video game or anything like that. Or I've never seen anyone react from a video game into a real life stage. Does that make sense? So like, I've never gone, like, don't get me wrong, I say it about myself. I went to the firing range for the first time in my life. That's what these three targets are. And I almost shot a bullseye with a 45 Magnum. And the guy was adamant that I've shot a gun. He's like, nah, there's no way you've never shot a gun in your life. I go, no, man, I play a lot of video games, but I got good accuracy. And he started laughing. I go, mate, I got good accuracy. I'm telling you, my eye is on point. And he goes, oh, well, I'm telling you, you do. He goes, because for someone to shoot a 45 long Colt, not the short, goes to shoot a 45 long Colt and almost crack a bullseye from 10 meters away. He goes, mate, that's a pretty good eye. I said, well, man, I just play a lot of video games. And that's the only thing I could say to him because I never shot a gun before. It was, and mind you, it was chained to a table too. So I had like a certain length I could do it. So I'm like, if I had a proper comfortable handle on this, I could probably get a better shot. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, like that's probably the best way to explain how I would use the video game reference in a real term.
Wait. The guns are on chains in the.
Yeah, it's nothing like America. Yeah,
that's crazy. You know,
if he carries a knife, like crocodile,
a box cutter. No,
us, okay, they don't carry around.
Yeah.
Dude, look, I have knives just sitting around me.
I wish. Yeah, see, we can't even do that. If I showed that on camera now, I'd probably have someone come kick through my front door.
Leave him alone. He's in the United States, huh?
Yeah, we can't even have him. Like, we can have him in a display, I think, and that's it. Like, you can't just have a knife sitting in your drawer in your bedroom and stuff like that. Whoa. Like, to hold a gun license in Australia is the most headache thing to hold. Like, you're better off just not having a gun. Like, it's just that much easier. You've got background checks all the time. You've got to keep up with the gun range. You've got to take the gun in to make sure that it's, like, you still own it and you haven't sold it in the black. Like, it's so crazy. That's why I've never even thought about getting a gun license. But I like getting my followers to send me all the pictures of their guns.
So another negative that turned into a positive. We're going to get a little personal here because this happened to you. Some people say video games are a waste of time. What do you say to that? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is to the people that want to do this themselves. You don't have to get into the details of the monetary aspect, but you had somebody in your life say, you're an idiot. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, well, it's like I had my own dad did not believe in this from the get-go. Like, my dad is the guy I told you, you're a working hard man. You leave school, you work, you pay your way. That's it. There's nothing else to life. Playing video games is stupid. That's what I used to cop all the time. And I used to say to him, I'm like, Dad, no, you can get a career out of this. This isn't like, we're not living in the 70s. I go, games do help kids accomplish things as well. I go, not only that, it also helps with a mental state of a kid. You know what I mean? Like, whenever you're angry or you're sad or anything like that, you turn on your game. And you kill that person, or you don't even play a killing game. You play a racing game and you drift that corner. You feel good. Your whole attitude changes. For a person that's disabled and can't actually walk or talk or move, like Jordan, one of my main moderators, he enjoys the fact that he can run as a character. He enjoys it. He goes, I get to run. And I'm like, bro, that's so cool. He goes, yeah, I don't get to do this in real life, so I enjoy it in my game. Wow. My bro, that's wicked. I go, that really hit my heart. I go, I don't think many people would think the way you do because you're a lot different. When it, like, he's more of a very upfront kid since what's obviously happened to him. Very upfront. That's why I love Jordan with a passion, because he has no filter. And a person with no filter, a lot of people say that's wrong. You should never live life no filter. No, you should really try to live life more with no filter and stop worrying about what the hell is going on around you and just enjoy the fact that you woke up this morning. Seriously, like, enjoy the fact that you opened your freaking eyes. My favorite saying is someone else in the world didn't. That's every day. I open my eyes and I'm like, yep, sweet, another day. I'm alive. Whereas someone else didn't. And every day we don't hear about that. We don't hear about how many people pass away every single day because they don't want to try to encourage the fact that you're going to be here to go, if that makes sense. You're not here forever, but I believe in an afterlife as well, whereas other people sometimes don't. I believe there's something further on from here. Our soul carries on and we meet. Because have you ever met someone, like maybe your best friend here? When you've met, you felt like you already connected, knew each other. Boom, off the bat.
Yeah.
That is because somewhere along the lines of creation, you already passed one another. That's how I see it. You've already passed one another before creation. And then when you got to the world, you were separated until you met again. And it's like, hey, we clicked. Boom. From day one till now, obviously, years later. Never, you probably never even had a big dispute between each other, have you? Like a massive dispute where you don't talk to each other for a week.
Maybe a day.
That's what I mean. That's a connection. Like, that's a connection that I'm talking about. Like, it's crazy how certain things can be evaluated. But you're right. Like, when it comes to people saying, like, do you feel like a video game will never get you anywhere? And it's only if you believe it will. If you're just playing it to enjoy the game, then that's understandable. Then you're just playing it to enjoy the game. That's fine. I was playing games to understand the game, to understand how it's created, and to understand how I could show someone to play it better. That's how I play a game. I've never played it to just finish it. My partner used to laugh. She goes, why do you even bother buying games? I finish like the career mode in a day. I'll go through and just finish it off, and then I'll replay it again and do it slower. And then I'll replay it again, and then I'll learn the other details. And then I'll replay it again and be like, why didn't they fix this and this and this? Because I just love fine details of certain things, you know? That's when I came across with COD Mobile, and I was just like, I had no internet at the time. This is the best way to run it down. I had no internet in my house. It was just me and my missus. I had a PlayStation, but games. So I only used to play career modes. I never got the chance to play online. I never got to sit there and play with my mates on headsets and just laugh our heads off. But they all do. But I never could, you know? I never could afford it. And then I found COD Mobile. My mate's like, bro, download this shit. Like, you're going to freaking love it, bro. Like, you don't know what you're missing out on. It's original. It's your favorite COD, but in your hands. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll give it a go. And then I started playing it on my phone, and I was like, wow, I'm really good at this. Like, I'm really good. And then I found out streamers streamed the game. And I'm like, okay, this is something. All right, I'm going to have a look at this. And then I got right into it. And then, as I said, I found Ginge Dad. Ginge Dad was my first ever streamer I followed. Ever was Ginge Dad. And he was my biggest inspiration, massive inspiration. Because he's so jolly. He's so happy. He brought all this, like, I don't know, he just brought happiness to you through a phone. And I'm like, how are you even doing it? Why am I smiling right now? Like, you're making me smile. I'm enjoying myself.
Why most of those gingers myself? Do that. I don't know if you knew that, but
yeah, we're good at it. Hey, we're good at it. We are good at it. I might not have it up here, but I do have it on the sides.
Exactly.
But it was just crazy that, like, playing the game that I enjoyed myself and wanting to teach others how to play it, it actually become true. And I've just been pushing and pushing and pushing to make sure I let everyone else know, like, yeah, some people can't follow their dreams because of a life instant. Like, let's say that they can't leave their mum and dad or something. They just can't do it. They need to be there for a full-time carer, for instance. Like, so your whole life is on hold. Your whole life. You can't do nothing about that. So all those people that do live life like that, I do feel sorry for them. I do really feel sorry for them because they can't chase their dreams. They have to create a new one after the fact. Do you know what I mean? So it's sad. But when it comes to streaming, you can use this industry at the same time as you're doing that. Like, you can still live. So let's say someone that is a carer full time, but still loves playing video games and stuff like that, they could still take the time at the end of every day to come back and drop a stream down and stuff like that if they have the time. You know what I mean? So some people that chase a higher dream, they've got to realize the fact at the start, education. You want to be where you are when you're older. That's where I didn't get that experience of being told education is the biggest thing. You know what my dad told me? Maths. That's all he said. Maths. Complete maths, you'll live perfect in life. That's the only thing you need. So I passed maths every year, failed everything else because I was just a dumb kid that didn't want to listen because I had no inspiration to go to the furthest end of school. And then once I left and I go to jobs and stuff, they're like, oh, where's your UTEL certificate? And I'm like, I never went. They go, but how do you know so much, but you never finish school? I'm like, because I learned a lot from real life, like going to work and like worked. I was at McDonald's. I was 17 years old. It almost became the first ever under 18 manager of McDonald's. And the reason I did it is because a woman, a woman at that bloody job.
No, he's not laughing at you. He's not
All right, you got to. This is very ironic because me and Ben just had this conversation today. I remember this from back in high school. But go ahead, tell.
I was the youngest manager in the history of McDonald's because I was 16.
There you go.
And I was a manager.
There you freaking go. So yeah. You know where I'm coming from, where it comes to the mentality of getting shit done. You know what I mean? And we prove our point on the spot. Like, this girl was that upset. She was 19. And she literally got me fired. She got in the boss's ear and she got me sacked before I hit manager. And from that day, I was like adamant that I was going to make it big, you know, because I would have been on $900 Australian a week at 17 years old. And I was like, oh, this is huge, you know, because like at the time I was all about the money, you know, income from mom and dad. I want to make sure there's backup money for mom and dad. You know what I mean?
Because the free lunch wasn't part of it at all. We get it.
Oh, yeah, no, the free lunches and half prices and oh, it's all good. But yeah, it's crazy to see where I am today. It's really crazy, especially a lot of people didn't expect it. I've still got the doubters. I've still got like a few mates. Oh, I can't consider them mates anymore because if you can't help me follow my dreams, then why do I need you around in my eyes? And a lot of my mates are stuck with me. That's why, like, I haven't spoken to him in a year, but we're still the same best mate as we were the day that I saw him. That's why it's been hard with this career, because so many hours. Like, you know it yourself, Ben. I'm here for so many hours. I haven't got to live for the last 7 months properly, like, outside my room. But who has, really? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, who really has got to live in the last 7 months? Like, you guys have got it a lot harder than we do. We can go cinemas. We can do all that. We've been able to do that for ages. We've been able to go back to the shopping centers and walk around. I was at the Easter show. You saw I was live at the Easter show, shoulder to shoulder with people. There's still no cases of COVID. You know what I mean? So that's where it comes to the pandemic. You guys got hit hard, hard.
Full face masks that we have to wear at all times, no matter what.
We've stopped that. But you see someone with a face mask now, you're like, you're silly. Do you know what I mean? Because we're already back at that stage. We're already back at that stage where we're not getting cases consistently coming up. Whereas it got nipped in the butt at the start, you know? Australia, because we were so like Melbourne copped it a bit more. Don't get me wrong. Melbourne copped it like a lot more than what we did. Melbourne got the whole lockdown. Letters, mask, don't leave your house, you get a fine. You know what I mean? And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. But that's because they their government didn't listen in the start. See, whereas Sydney and all that, we went boom, lockdown as soon as it happened. Don't go nowhere.
My list of places to travel in Australia, Melbourne's actually number one because they have
Melbourne's beautiful. So I'll tell you to go there. It's the most beautiful place in Sydney in Australia.
There. Like the and I'm part of the Kix TW crew, and I from Australia.
Well, so Melbourne is the shopping central of Australia. Melbourne is the place.
I see the judgment in your face.
But yeah, if I was to say to visit anywhere in Australia, Melbourne is. It's beautiful, man. Especially Phillip Island. That's where they do a lot of their motorbike racing and stuff like that. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to in my own country, in Australia. There's not even a piece of rubbish on the floor. I'm not even lying. You won't even find a piece of chewy on the floor. Like, it's the most gorgeous place I've ever been to. I wanted to live there. I'm like, can we just live here, bub? Like, do we have to go back to Shitney, as we call it? We call it Shitney.
Have you ever heard of Boston, Massachusetts?
Yes, yes.
We call them all massholes.
Massholes?
Massholes. New Jersey's called Dirty Jersey.
Yeah. Dirty Jersey, I've heard that. Yeah. I've actually heard Dirty Jersey. All the way over here.
Wow.
So there were two more questions.
That's what you're smelling whenever you get that weird cow odor. It's Jersey. Jersey air getting blown over there.
We had two more questions. Joe, you had a business question that you wanted to ask him.
Business. Oh, well, actually, I think he did answer some of the questions that I had organically, but I was wondering what advice would you give someone if they wanted to start being a gamer, like professionally, what kind of level should they be playing at? Do they need to be playing at a really high level, or could they just start if they're not even that good?
Well, that's a hard thing to, like, hard for me to answer, because I'm not being a dick. This is a straight up honest answer, but I've always been good at video games. I've always been good, always been really good. It's, I got grounded a lot as a kid. So I spent a lot of time playing video games. Yeah. Who would have thought you'd have a video game when you're grounded? But when you had three boys in a house and a girl, you had to keep them occupied. So my parents thought that's the best way to do it. As I explained the life situation as well. So what's the best way to keep three boys occupied when the father can't do anything? Give him a console. It's very smart, even though we used to bash each other over it. But to get into this industry, you don't have to be a gamer. You don't have to be a professional. You really don't. You just got to be good at talking to yourself. You got to be really good at not worrying about having any answers out loud. You got to be able to take on grief. You can't be the type of person that can take things to heart. I'm sorry to say that to anyone that does want to try to become a streamer. If you have a soft heart, you will not make it far. It's a very hard industry. I've had personal messages that I don't speak about on stream that I get from people that I laugh at. Like, you're taking the time out of your day to send me this message. Thank you. Thank you for the acknowledgement. But some of the shit they say is, it's hard meaning, you know, to some people. It would really hurt. You know what I mean? It would really hurt them. Because I look at in another person's perspective when I read something, because I don't get offended very, like, it takes so much to offend me. I might get frustrated in a game. I'm a very competitive player. So I get offended in games a lot easier. But to get into this industry, you've got to have no filter, sort of. Like, you've got to be strong-minded. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared to fail. You can't be prepared to succeed. You cannot be prepared to succeed at all. You've got to be prepared to fail in this industry the whole time. Mm. Every day I wake up, I'm thinking, am I going to have anyone even watch me anymore? You've got to have that sense of mind where you're not perfect. You're not perfect. Yes, I have grown very well. I have grown amazingly. I'm blowing up in a way that I never even thought I would, but I'm not going to get cocky. I ain't going to change the way I am because of that. I'm going to still stick as this scared guy that wakes up every day telling my partner, am I still going to have this job next week? Do you know what I mean? But I still don't even see it as a job even. It's hard to even still see this as a job because I'm relying so much on the donations. I don't want to have to go in there every day and say, like, help me out, help me. I'm broke. I need money. I don't want to do that, man. I don't want people to feel obliged to have to tune in and drop money into just to watch me and make me continue on. But that is the realism of this job, is you do have to rely on that. You do have to push the point. So as Ben knows, the pink beard might be there soon. To make it more exciting when you donate to me now, you're not just donating for the cause of me staying alive and keeping my industry going. You're now donating to something that's going to make you laugh your freaking head off for the next month and keep me alive and keep me afloat and keep me surviving. That's the difference. Whereas if someone else would come in and they're money hungry, they just come in and they'll soak it. Sorry.
I was going to say, are you familiar with the harder rock like Pantera?
Pantera, no, I might ring a bell.
One of the guitar players from that band and even Anthrax, like they only do a certain part color.
Yeah, so
you can get creative with it. And you don't have to do the full thing. You could just do like a strip.
It's gonna be a spray too. Because I asked my I asked my barber about the dye and stuff, and he goes, no. He goes, you'll burn your face off, bro. Your beard's not thick enough. He goes, if you had a beard like mine, he's Arabic, so his beard's like thick. Yeah, you know. He goes, you wouldn't burn off.
Yeah,
it's thicker. See, mine's very thin all the way through. So I actually have to. I'm gonna have to spray it every stream. So it's gonna look hilarious, you know. But again, it's for someone like you. Again, for someone that wants to come into this industry, you got to be prepared to step out of your box. I'd never in my life would ever think that I'm gonna put something pink on my face. You know what I mean? Like I might be like this friendly heart, but I'm still a man that carries on like that stupid man's man. Like I'm not wearing pink. You know, I was like that for so long, but now since I started this industry. Yeah, look, we're literally all in black shirts. So we're all the same type. But now that I'm in this industry, I've stepped out of the box a little bit. Like, I'm thinking about even going to a further extent and start doing war paint. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to start doing war paint on my face. And I'm going to buy an army. I'm going to buy an army gear. Where it's, I might even buy a ghillie suit in the long run and come in fully ghillie one time and play. You know, so there's so much. That's what I mean. Where it comes to people just wanting to go into this industry, don't go into this industry just wanting to blow up. Because it ain't going to happen. It is not going to happen. This is not the industry that you blow up overnight. It could take 1 year. It could take 5 years. It could take 3 months. I still don't even consider myself as blown up. I'm only at 3,000 followers, man. But I do hold a lot of viewage compared to other people with 20,000 followers. That's the difference that I see my community. That's what I meant to say about my community is I don't want to grow where I don't know anyone. I want to grow with a whole bunch of people I know now and then use these guys to help me grow the bigger community. Like you look at Ben knows it himself. Every time someone new comes in now, they are welcomed with open freaking arms, man. Like open arms. I'm not even saying hello. By the time they hit the follow button, my whole chat has already said hello to this person. And it's unreal. It's unreal. Like I'm slowly at the point now where my community is taking care of my chat. I don't even have to read it anymore because I know the question's already answered. If it's a specific question that someone would want me to answer, then obviously I'll answer it again, even though it's already been typed. I'll still reword it out loud just so that person feels privileged enough to know that I've acknowledged their question. Whereas a lot of streamers now, they don't really care. They're just that big. They're just like, meh, I'll read one or two comments. Meh. I'll read his one. I'm not going to read his because he's not even a follower. I know streamers that do that, man. I'm in the mix with over 10 streamers. And I know I'm not going to name drop, obviously. But I know streamers that won't even call out your comment because you're just a follower. You're not even a supporter. But he won't call out your comment because you don't support him. You're just following. And that's freaking sad, dude. That's freaking sad. I don't want to have to pay money to talk to someone. Do you know where I'm coming from?
And that's ridiculous. That's completely and utterly ridiculous.
And same with playing with a streamer. Like I get that people get to the stage where, all right, you want to be playing with your subs. It's understandable. Subs need to have that priority. But why are you kicking down the little guy? Why are you kicking down the little one that can't? Like let's say Ben's son, for instance, that wants to play the game. Well, I'm not going to let him play because he can't pay $7.95.
There he is.
Hey, what's up, Fox?
You remember you were hanging out with him this morning?
Mum doesn't know, but
she's not going to watch this episode, is she?
You see his friend Jeffrey in the background?
He's Jeffrey.
He's his little
there he is.
Brownhead.
He's a good man.
He talks. No, it's not real. He doesn't. Have
he keeps me safe. He keeps me safe.
Buddy. He talks to him when he's
my buddy.
What's crazy is that Ben's son's hair is exactly the same as my daughter's hair. It's like the same curly hair. It's insane.
So cool. I got curly hair too, man. As you can see, it goes my hairline. I don't have a hairline. My hairline's like this.
You know, that's the curse of being a man, you know?
Yeah.
My hair, if it's long, it gets really curly, but like when it's
short, mine goes fro.
Yeah.
It's full fro.
Well, I'm actually part Caribbean, so I have I get really curly hair and it grows like that. But it'll come down, it'll lay itself down and start falling down after a while.
So there's one other thing that I wanted to bring up. That I just remembered. Did you hear what Twitch did? Because this is something that's actually really supportive to content creators. They deleted 7.5 million bot accounts the other day.
Oh, bot accounts.
Bot accounts.
Yeah. I actually know a streamer I'm really close with who got attacked by those bots and almost lost his whole content creation. And he's still fighting right now. Actually, now that you've mentioned this, it might be done, but he's still fighting right now to get rid of 4,000 fake followers. Is someone paid money to put on his account to get him shut down? That's how sad some of these people in this world are. Someone paid their own money to buy fake followers to put on his name to get his content creation shut down. Lucky this industry where we've got a lot of smart IT people that work in it. Like Twitch have obviously gone through and gone, well, you obviously didn't pay for it. We know you didn't do it on purpose. Someone is trying to set you up. So they've been helped out. See, wow. I've always been worried about that with Facebook as well, Ben, big time. Have you noticed a lot of times where I have a follower come through or three followers come through, but no message?
No, nothing in chat. They just come through and then on that, occasion you'll be
those
like,
are the hey, ones that scare me. Those are the ones that scare me. But you know what I got told from Black Shapes? Black Shapes said, you know what that person could be doing? He could be in an old stream that he doesn't even realize and dropping an exclamation mark notify or hitting the follow button from an old stream, but you're getting the notification in your live stream. That's- or someone could just be hitting it as they come past your content creation page. They could just be clicking on, oh, I like this guy. I'll check it out later. I'll hit the follow. But right. then they haven't even been in the stream yet. You right. know what I mean? And that's where I've got to start realization. Like, all right, so I'm not just wigging out about it. I'm not like, what's going on? Why are you coming in and following? You're not saying hello. I don't want ghost followers. That's what Spitfire calls them, ghost followers. We want people, we do love lurkers. I love a lurker, someone that wants to sit there and just watch the whole entire day and not say a bloody word. I love you for that. But I want you to come out of your shell. Mm-hmm. I want you to break that shell and be comfortable in my community where you can talk. Look at Hellraiser. Hellraiser never spoke in anyone's stream. And then he finally spoke in mine. Same as a couple of the girls. They don't talk on voice chat at all.
Never.
But they talk on voice chat when they play with me. I'm not going to drop the names, but they talk on voice chat when they play with me because they right. feel comfortable. They and feel like they can release themselves and carry on like they do. And I love that about it. I love that. And like today, I've already had no word of lie, Ben. I'm looking at my Facebook inbox now, and I've had four messages so far just this morning. This is what makes my day. Four messages saying, are you going to be live today? Those wow. four messages make my day every day, every single day.
Some of them, when I log on, they actually request me, and we play games privately off the stream as well. And the community itself, you put the LNF in front of your name, It's a group.
You're locked in. There's no, don't get me wrong. There's a bit of things going on in the background that obviously I'm not going to mention on live recording right now while we're here, but there's stuff going on in my clan in the background where I have to start putting my foot down. And it's getting to that point where I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to be the bad guy, but if I hear enough going on in the background, I'm the drill sergeant. I'm going to come out here and go, you keep going, you're out. And I'll make sure you never play with anyone again if you want to be like the person you are, because we don't need people like you playing my video game or anyone else playing this video game, because we're trying to get rid of toxic on the mobile game. It's a mobile game for the underage community. The reason it is that is because there's no swearing in it. If you download Call of Duty on any console, the intro is going to go, wait, do we swear on this podcast or should we not? Yeah. All right. So the intro will go, all right, let's fucking do this, troops. Do you know what I mean? But mobile is specifically built for children and kids to be able to enjoy that phase of going out and shooting up people, but not having to worry about the subtitles coming up with F-U-C-K every single time.
Right.
That's why mobile needs to be getting rid of these toxic people and keeping the community that it's looking for, and not dragging in all these freaking assholes that are just destroying it for these kids. Because they're trying to play in the lobby and they're just getting drilled. I had a kid message me on the game and said, thank you so much for letting me play. The person that I last played with called me these names. And I was like, bro, come join my community.
Took his time to thank you.
Yeah, I go, come to my community and sit down and stay with us. Don't play with anyone else ever. I've got a lot of people that play. Come play with us. And now he's probably one of the LNF. I don't know yet because I haven't been checking up on the clan lately. It's been a bit flat chat at home and stuff, but I know he's probably already playing with heaps of the LNF crew now, because I'm trying to just weed out the toxic people. Even like Tilly, she plays with a few of these older generation and stuff like that. Like, I only say older generation, like they're 20s and up, like they're not a kid, you know what I mean? And they're all swearing and carrying on. They're all carrying on. It's funny, I enjoy it, but this isn't the game marketing to put it in. If you're going to bring that type of toxic bring it to the war zone. I love them all for it. They can keep doing what they're doing. Don't think I'm like talking down on any of them. I don't talk down on nobody in life. I always talk up about people. I've never spoke down on anybody unless they freaking deserve it and the world needs to know about it. So when it comes to the video games that I'm trying to like bring out to the world, I'm going to be streaming. If I become partner, which I thrive the fact that I will become partner. I'm not going to not become it. I will become a Facebook partner. It is going to happen. I just hit my four digits, Ben, last night. I hit 1,003 engaged followers out of 3,000. We are now in the four numbers. We are on the road and we are closer. So it's going to happen. So once I hit partner, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start playing Crash Bandicoot. I'm going to start playing all these mad games that are going to bring in the younger community again. Ones that are like not all these... Like, I'm not going to go play in Call of Duty or anything involving an MA15+. I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a Sackboy again. Like me and my missus used to play Little Big Planet and play that and just try that out and bring it to a whole new level, man. I want to prove that you can be a PG-rated streamer. And you see my Warzone. I have a bit of fun. I let out my bit of steam on Warzone. And I don't have to title that to the world because that game is already titled as an R18 game. Or MA15. I shouldn't have to hold back myself in a game that's not even holding back on its own. You know what I mean? Right. But when I'm playing mobile and I'm playing a game where it's literally rated PG, so I'm like, let's treat it like a PG game.
Self-explanatory at that point.
Literally. Why turn it into an MA15 game when you can continue it as a PG? It's going to be a hard road for me, man. Like, I promise you now, I've already had messages from other people saying you're going to fail. You're never going to get nowhere. You need to have the older generations, this, that. How old is most of the people that watch me, Ben? They're all our age.
They're 18.
They're all our age. They're all older. I've only got a few young ones that are in school. The rest of my main supporters are adults with kids and everything. So who's doing the wrong thing at the end of the day? Who is failing at the end of the day? The people that are messaging, going out of their way to message me are the ones that are failing. Not me.
on that topic, Joe and I have been doing this podcast for a year or two now, and we brought my oldest daughter, Harmony. She's 12 now, but when she was 8, one of her favorite things were Megalodon sharks.
Yeah. I've seen the movie as well.
Yeah, you do the just keep swimming thing all the time.
Yeah.
So we were watching and she's like, I'd love to come on. So we did a whole podcast dedicated to Megalodon sharks. And then
that's cool.
And then Megalodon Lover 45 comes on and says, why did you have this kid on there? She's an idiot. It was a whole fight that Joe got in with this guy. Like, it's a child.
I'm like, this is a little kid, right? And they're like, it doesn't matter, you know, facts are facts. And if you're wrong, then you need to be straightened out. I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is really not the way to go about it. You know,
it's not attacking someone to prove a point is not the best way to prove a freaking point. That's how I see it.
Right. But how many hundreds more views did you and I get because the guy took it out of the way and said, oh, check out this is complete garbage. Like, he put so much time and dedicated so much time into bashing us, it turned into
thank you
thing. yeah that's right. Actually, you know, this happened with our band once too. Mm-hmm. We played a show and it was with 6 Feet Under, actually,
which is the old lead singer of Cannibal Corpse,
right?
Chris Barnes.
And Chris Barnes came up on stage and said something derogatory about our band. I don't remember exactly what he said, but the next day our website had gotten like 1,000 hits. And this is it wasn't a website. It was
a MySpace, I think, or something.
It was a MySpace.
So it was like a social page.
Kind of social page, but it got like 1,000 something hits the next day. But look, how long ago this was. This is like back when the internet was not the big thing. It was the go-to place for something. So the band blew up overnight.
Unlike now.
Overnight, because someone said something nasty about our band.
Exactly. Well, like my favorite t-shirt that I've got, and I'll probably keep for the rest of my life. It says, if you've got haters, you must be doing something right. And on the back, it says, I love haters, because you got to have them. If you don't have haters, you are not making it. You've got to have people that disagree with what you're doing in life because they can't do it.
That's right.
You know, the people that are disagreeing with you are the no-hopers that wake up every morning wondering what person they're going to leech off for that day. Those are the ones that are literally the toxic people that wake up, they don't have any thrill in life, they don't have any thrive, they have nothing going for them. They're just like, who else can I destroy today? Because I've been living a shit life, I'm going to try to make someone else have a shit life. Well, come to my stream because I thrive off people like you. I thrive off them. But in the same sense, I don't want them in my chat because I've got kids there again. So you see where I'm coming from. So what I've had to come to realization now is I've got to stop acknowledging the trolls and letting my moderators just delete them. Because you're giving them the acknowledgement. That's all they want. And I didn't know that at first. I was just like, no, 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 no. And they're sitting there, yeah, little keyboard warrior, going nuts, you know what I mean? But his finger probably cramping up because of how much he's typing and stuff.
Right.
But that's where I'm at the stage now is when I see it, I'm just like, meh. Like a guy comes in, you're a noob. I'm like, yeah, bro. Thank you. See you next one. And then I'll squad wipe two teams. I'm like, real noobish, eh? So noobish. You know, like you got to have fun with the troll. But again, like we were coming back to that question before, do you feel like anyone could just jump straight into it and get into it? I don't feel like anyone could. Again, you'd have to build yourself up before you step into this industry. Same as yourself, being a musician. You know that for a fact. You can't just expect everyone to love you. You're going to have the hate. You're have the hate.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. What makes you go harder the next day at learning more is the person that told you you were shit the night before. You think I'm shit? I'll prove to you I'm not freaking shit. You know what I mean? You go nuts.
We were kicked off stage because we formed a band. 24 hours, we were playing a show, and we only had 10 minutes of material for a 15-minute slot. It was a rock show. So we started playing like improv jazz, and they just turned off the lights and said, get the hell out of here.
That's one of the greatest shows ever.
There you go. That would have been the biggest influence to continue more. You know what I mean?
All right, so the thing was, we made up this band, right? The night before the show. The show was at like 3 p.m. We formed the band at like midnight. Okay, we found our drummer was a guy who wanted to learn how to play drums. He wasn't, I mean, he could play a little bit already.
Yep.
He's like, I want to learn drums. That was our drummer. Ben was the bassist. I was the guitar player. And we had someone who said they were going to sing. We ended up finding a drunk guy
at a church
for us instead, in front of a church.
Good place to find a singer.
2 hours. Great place. And this is about 2 hours before the show, we found our singer.
Which fun
Very
fact,
prepared.
Our drummer only had a saw blade as a cymbal.
Yep.
Not a real cymbal. It was a circular saw blade.
Yep. Yeah.
And have you ever seen any of those, ever seen that movie Dogma?
Yes.
The church we found him in front of was the church from Dogma.
That's right.
Oh, my God. No way.
That was the church.
Oh, my God.
He was drunk in front of that church. That's where we found him. Dogma church.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, because we both grew up in the town that those movies are based from. Red Bank.
Okay. Yeah.
So what you just said actually prior to this was, which is the perfect segue to the next section, because we like to do things. We like to give advice too, like bad dad advice, good dad advice, like things like that. And pretty much I'm going to sum up what you said, that you need the bad to have the good.
100%.
Pretty much the 100%. Best dad advice you can get. Like you're going to have the days where you're beat up. You're going to have the super negative. But how are you going to appreciate the positive if you're not?
Exactly right, man. If you live life so positive and when negative comes along, you have no clue how to handle it. No clue.
I'll just throw one in there. That's the difference
with some people, man.
I'll throw one extra in there.
Okay.
You can learn from the haters. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some people go, what? They're just haters. I learned something. So I had a hater. He was mad at me for something completely disrelated to my business, my music business. And he found my music business and gave me like a 1-star rating and then went on this nasty rant.
Yeah.
I'm the worst musician ever. And all of a sudden my rating on Facebook was like a 2. I'm like, what? I was like, how is this one guy affecting me? And then I looked at it. he's only one of two people to give me a rating. The other person gave me a 5-star rating. He gave me a 1. So they like a 2 or something like that. And I'm like, oh my God. And I realized it's like, I need to go ask people to give me ratings.
Yeah. And how weird did it feel having to approach the fact?
Oh, as soon as I went and asked people, I went and asked people, and then Facebook went and said, wait a second, this guy never did a service with you, erased his review, and then put all these, I got like 30 something reviews like the next day.
Yeah, see, that's
all 5 stars. So I have perfect 5-star rating on Facebook. And that guy's rating is gone. That's what I mean.
See, that they still thrive off it, but like they would have thrived off the fact that he got you down to that 1 star. He'd be like, yes, I achieved something in life. You know what I mean? That guy was back a week later, happy about himself. And then he would have been back. No lying. He would have been back a week later, be like, ah, look at this, showing one of his friends. Look what I did to this guy. Oh, they fixed it.
Never mind.
Oh, well, find the next victim. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the generations we're all living in now, is just pathetic people, man.
Haters are an opportunity to learn.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. 100%. I've learned more from haters than I have from anything else. 100%.
So when we end our shows, we like to end on the most positive way possible. And what we feel is the most positive way is anything that has to do with Chuck Norris. Because he is the ultimate ginger. He is one of the greatest Americans to ever live. And what we want from you, Killer Shot, is we want to know, what is your favorite Chuck Norris?
My favorite. This is one of my favorite. This is the short Chuck Norris line. It was just, when God said, let there be light, Chuck Norris said, say please. Still one of my favorites. Still one of my favorites.
Oh my God, that's great.
Brilliant. Absolutely. I love it. Don't even have to do another one. Like that one.
No, that was it. That's it.
Safe.
Wow.
All right.
Will, I love it.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Killer Shot 92 Gaming is the page. Look for it on Facebook. It will be below in the comments, in the description of the video. Anything else you want to say to the community, to the world before we go?
Last thing I will always say, stick to your dreams. Never give up. No matter how long it takes, no matter how many years go by, never give up. I'm at my dream now. It took 10 years, but I'm there and I cannot believe it. So thrive and succeed. Thrive and succeed. And let the hate come on the way.
There you
That's
go.
All I can nice. Say.
For the Titans of I Don't Know, I'm Ben.
And I'm Joe.
You guys have a great night.
Peace. Bye.